Just to recap where everyone is, Bart was off in the armory scooping up all the goodies that he could fit into his floating hemisphere. The rest of you are in the conversion lab. Chels has just managed to free a bunch of very frightened and naked Icelandic people. There is Ethan's body lying, or not even lying, disappearing into the slurry pit filled with offal. There's Greg still chowing down there. There is now suddenly an awful lot of chaos happening. The base is shaking itself apart in a way that, I mean, it was already shaking itself apart a bit, but now it's really shaking itself apart. The walls are cracking open. The floor is cracking open. You can see magma down there. There's live steam shooting out of cracks in the walls. Everything is shaking around violently, like you're caught in the middle of an earthquake. Sections of ceiling are falling down. There are screams and cries throughout the complex. Let's start with Bart.
Hello.
Hello. So, actually, before we do that, let's do something far more important. Let's do luck
refreshes.
Yeah.
I got loads of luck. Yeah.
It's because we haven't been spending it enough.
I say loads. I'm probably still the lowest in that bloody party.
Okay, well, let's start then with Charles. So, how much luck has Charles got right now?
So Charles has got 67, and I rolled a 91.
Okay, so you get 3d10 plus 10.
Whew. Let's see what I get.
Lucky
31
lucky
luck. This is the most luck I've ever had.
So that's 98 luck you're
98
on now.
98 luck.
You better spend some. Remember, you only really need 30. That's how this works.
No, I need to get one more than I win Cthulhu, don't I?
Then you can guarantee a victory on anything.
And Bart, how about Bart? You said he's got loads of luck right
98.
Now. Okay.
I rolled a 62.
Right. Well, I mean, that, regardless of what you roll, you're up to 99 now. How about Ethan? I don't know really whether it's that important for Ethan, because Ethan is now effectively a non-player character, but let's have you roll just as a little farewell to him.
I appreciate that I'm given the option of rolling, just because, you know, I might as well use something. I got something. Right. So I rolled an 11 against 38, which is really bad.
So you still get a d10 plus 5.
Yeah, one d10 plus 5, and I get 11. Puts okay. Me on 49.
And Jane, what's Jane on at the moment?
Jane has 88 luck. I jumped the gun with my roll earlier, so it was up on roll 20, but I rolled a 14, which I probably could have done with for a later roll, but never mind.
Oh, well, at least you get a d10 plus 5.
Yeah. Okay, so that's 13 luck.
Okay, so that takes you up to...
Yeah, 99. Sweet! Yep. I win Cthulhu.
You get exactly one wish.
Woo!
But then you're also able to die afterwards.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how much luck you all have by the end of this session. So, kicking off with Bart. Bart was there in the armory, scooping up all the goodies he could and putting them into his floating hemisphere. And this has taken a bit of time because you're going through the rack and the flame pistols in particular. I mean, you're having to untangle each one and put it in. So, you know, this has taken you several minutes. And at some point, things have gone very badly wrong. Because, as I said, the base has gone from the occasional threatening rumble and the sound of the klaxon that's been going since you came in here going to the most almighty shaking. That crystal plate that had come down that was serving as a door, that has just shattered like a pane of glass, and there are bits of it flying all over the place. There is a huge crack that has formed in one of the walls, and it's spreading across the ceiling. It looks like this room is about to collapse. there is what looks like fire and steam coming from outside. And I don't know, maybe this is the worst part. Somewhere in amongst all the noise, you can hear the sound of the countdown from the self-destruct has come up again. It seems to have restarted.
Can I hear the number?
Give me a Nicole roll.
Oh, 19 against a 15. Yeah, I'm going to spend the 4 luck.
The number you hear is 10. You're not entirely sure what the units are.
How quickly are they counting down?
When you heard it before, it didn't really seem to be using, like, human concepts of minutes and seconds.
Right. Bart sort of glances down at his treasure trove, glances around the room. I think this will do. And starts to sort of direct the hemisphere out of the room. Then he looks down at the mesh chute. He's feeling a little bit vulnerable. So he's going to try and put on the mesh chute while driving the hemisphere into the other room.
The just mesh kind
of keeping yeah, the chitinous mesh sort of armor suit is what I kind of assumed it looked like, some sort of like body chain mail or something. And he's gonna like be pulling that on while like keeping his head above the edge of the rim to see where he's going.
I think in order to do this in any particular hurry, particularly as you are in this hemisphere that is just clattering full of all these flame pistols, I would like a dex roll.
That is a 32 against 50.
Okay, yep, that is good enough then. I mean, it is going to take you a little bit, but I mean, you haven't managed to upset the hemisphere, and you are slowly getting it on.
I've been in more awkward situations and positions.
The suit is quite a baggy thing, really, which also helps. Are you putting it on over your existing clothing? I assume you're doing that and not getting stripped naked in
the world. Where practical. I'll probably take off my jacket and waistcoat and that kind of thing. But yeah.
Okay. And yeah, what you find as you're putting this on is the suit is growing snugger. It's like it's adapting to your body shape.
Oh, I quite like this. It sort of gets tighter and tighter on his head. I think this could turn into a thing, you know.
Like a glove, not the.
I might put some talcum powder to get it off.
As Bart is making his way out, is he heading in the direction that the others went in to try to catch up with them, or is he heading back the way you all came?
Towards the others, because if I remember correctly, this was also our general indication of where the exit was as well.
The exit was actually in the opposite direction. You're heading away from the exit by heading to the others.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, as soon as I'm out in the hallway, I'll be calling. Charles, Jane, we should be leaving.
I think the chances of them hearing you over the klaxon, the self-destruct warning, the earthquake, the explosions, the screams,
we're in full, like, others, Bond film end sequence destruction of the Mad Genius's base, right?
Yes, 100%. So I think I would like listen rolls then off both Charles and Jane just to see whether they can hear Bart shouts. This is going to have to be a hard success.
Okay. Oh, I just rolled a 4.
Jane rolled a 63, so.
Is it possible that they're actually shouting in my eardrum? Just checking that out there.
No, your eardrum is probably about half a mile beneath the surface.
Oh, fair enough. And filled with things, so.
Yes, filled with magma. So, yeah, I mean, Jane doesn't hear any of the sound over the racket that is going on. But somehow there is a brief enough lull in all the chaos that Charles just for a moment catches just the merest hint of Bart calling.
Bart? Bart, we're in here! Hey, Ethan! Ethan, where are you?
Just some bubbles come up.
Jane's been busy trying to brush flecks of viscera off of her suit and is looking really quite angry and just sort of turns around and says, yeah, where is Ethan? Ethan? And remembers that he was, I think she would have seen him in the tub of viscera.
Ethan's body has disappeared beneath the surface of the slurry pit.
God, where's Ethan? Jane, have you seen Ethan?
I think he's in the paddling pool over there. Oh, God. And she sort of starts making her way over.
So where did I get to with blowing the door open? I mean, Charles is going to
run. You had, you'd succeeded there. And, yeah, you had blown the doors off. And the frightened Icelandic people are beginning to break their way out into the larger room.
Jane, I'm sure he's all right. If you can grab him, I'm just going to help this guy before he gets torn apart by these machines.
Okay.
I'm going to fly in to grab that guy that was in the tunnel.
Okay. So you're going to try to do that. Jane's going over to try to rescue Ethan. Now, the complication with rescuing Ethan is that you can see that Greg has backed away from the offal pit. I mean, you've never known Greg to turn down food like this, but he is actually, as much as Greg ever does, looking a bit alarmed and is hissing at the slurry pit now and just shaking his head.
Okay. Greggy, what is it? Where's Ethan? Greggy?
What is it, Greg? Is Ethan in the slurry pit?
How did he fall down there?
Okay, yeah, she's gonna try to peer in, maybe use the bucket to kind of nudge, because she doesn't want to have to touch it.
Yeah, I mean, Greg is, oh, he's looking at you a bit hungrily, but he's a bit distracted by everything else that's going on.
Because he loves me. He'd never eat me.
Yeah. Just tell yourself that. So as you get a bit closer, it becomes more obvious that what it is that is upsetting Greg, which is that the ground next to the slurry pit has cracked open and there is now magma leaking into the slurry pit and it's coming to the boil. There is this smell almost like cooking flesh as the blood and guts are bubbling in the pit.
Probably smells like the process of making black pudding.
Mm. Yes.
That is a good taste, though. I love black pudding.
Don't make it. It's pretty disgusting. It's delicious, but...
Yeah. Well, Jane, I'm a vegetarian, but maybe Jane would enjoy black pudding. I don't know. She obviously doesn't want to touch the magma offal, so maybe tries to use the bucket to kind of scoop across and see if she nudges Ethan and see what kind of... She's not got much hope at this point, but she doesn't want to not do anything.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what then. Because Ethan's disappeared under the surface, if you're going to try to find him down there in the boiling offal, then let's have a spot hidden roll.
Okay. I think while Jane's doing this, she's like, get a job in investigative journalism, they say. It'll be fun. yeah, so spot hidden, hard success. Come on, Janie. What was my spot hidden? I don't think I've got it. I rolled a 50. I think my spot hidden's 80, but it's not going to do
it. Is this worth 10 points of luck to you?
Go on then. I'm feeling spendy, okay. What can I say? Okay, yeah, I'll spend the 10 back.
You have to dip the bucket in there a few times, and it's getting more and more unpleasant. I mean, it was already pretty fucking unpleasant because blood and awful, but the heat is beginning to come through the handle of the bucket, and you're finding all sorts of bits of people in there, but there is a distinct lack of Ethan until finally the bucket catches on something and it pulls up this very badly blistered and burnt hand, which is just poking above the surface.
I think...
Save me!
Just to add to this, the blood is coagulating, and the steam hitting your face is constant.
Nice.
Yeah, I think Jane's gonna try to grab the hand and pull him out. At least I can save my friend's body.
What is Ethan's size?
Ethan's size? Give me a moment.
His old size, not his new size at 3,500.
60. He's actually not that big.
Okay.
He's a little bit above average.
But it's still over 50, which means...
5'10". We're going to go with 5'10".
Which means that if you're going to try to pull him out of this, you're going to need to make a hard strength roll.
Okay. Even though my size is 65...
yeah, okay. Because
we'll see how we go.
He still is quite heavy, and he is there in coagulating blood, lots of coagulating blood.
On the positive side, the density of the coagulated blood and viscera would be quite high, so it'd be easier than pulling him out of water.
True. I have a strength of 70, and I rolled a 40. I know I'm getting ridiculous, but I also kind of think maybe it could give us some clues as to what happened to Ethan if there's some weird mythos going on. So I'm going to get this body out and spend another 5 luck, okay? I don't know. This might be nothing, but we'll see. Okay, so that's another 5 luck. Okay,
then, you haul out his body onto... The cracking ground around you. The entire room is shaking. His body is just this mass of blisters and peeling skin. It's swollen in places. There's not really much left of his eyes. And let's have a luck roll just to see if he's still alive after all this effort.
Oh boy.
Because he could have done all this just to pull a corpse out. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what Jane is. Jane's expecting him to be a corpse, but you never know. Okay, I rolled a 63 and I have an 84 luck.
Okay, so he's lying there still as you're examining him. And then just all of a sudden there is this noise and he suddenly starts coughing up these clots of blood and bits of something else. And his hand just comes out. His hand just reaches up and grabs yours. And you can feel the skin coming off his hand as he does so.
Oh, God. Jane's going to kind of try to roll him onto his side. Oh, Christ.
Then I think give me a first aid roll.
So,
oh, shit. Yeah.
I'm going to spend the 1 luck. Yes!
So, yeah, I mean, despite the hideous burns, despite the fact that he's clearly inhaled and swallowed some of this burning, boiling blood and guts, you are actually keeping him breathing. Somehow he is still alive. He's making these strange groaning noises. I mean, maybe his larynx has been really burnt. In fact, I'll tell you what, you can give me an intelligence roll at this stage just to pick something up. I'll tell you what, I'll accept either intelligence or listen.
Okay, that's a 47 out of 80. What does Jane hear?
What you can hear is the words that Ethan is trying to make. I mean, they're garbled, obviously, because his mouth is a ruin. Yeah, it's not just random sounds. It's not just groaning. You've heard noises like this before. They sounded an awful lot like the noises the Vormis were making over in the other side of the complex. Well, I think between that and the physical state that Ethan's in, let's have a sand roll.
Classic. Mm.
I do like a good sand roll.
I love them. My fave.
You might want to use some luck to mitigate that, or you're going to end up the way Ethan is.
I rolled an 87. My san is 39.
Wow.
You had a rough go of it.
You'd lose another 4 points of san, and you remember what happened last time you had a bat and madness, because you are indefinitely insane at the moment, so any san loss sends you back into a bat and madness. You remember what happened last time? Well, that's going to happen again. I'll leave that up to you. We'll come back to you in a moment. This could have come at a better time, but it probably couldn't have come at a funnier time.
Am I indefinitely insane?
I think so, because you lost an awful lot in one go. When you took the canister out of the wall and had your mind blasted.
And that was that small section of time in which Bart was just like, and you're unconscious, and you're unconscious, and you're unconscious.
Bart Fight Club.
This Christmas, I give you the gift of fists.
He like took off the elbow band and was like going off the back ropes, the front ropes. You smell.
How do you think I survived boarding school? Fisticuffs were very important.
So Bart made his way through the public school system through fisting.
It's the only way to go.
Yes, rather.
So just as a little narrative flavor, because I think before Jane gets a bout of madness, her initial thought, as soon as she hears Ethan talking in the language of the Vormi, she just thinks, where the fuck is Bart? Bart? And then, like, her eyes just change, and she just kind of, like, completely loses focus, and that's it. And it doesn't even have to be that he's heard her or anything, but...
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll come back to Jane in a moment. Let's go to Charles. So Charles was trying to fly his way into the mechanism that was... in the process of trying to gut this man. Now, you had actually stopped the machinery from working, so you know, he'd got to the stage where the knife was just cutting into him, but he's still held in place. There is blood coming down his abdomen from where the knife's cut in. There are these metallic pincers holding him in place. The problem that's facing you, though, I mean, as you're flying the hemisphere, I assume, over the heads of the panicking Icelanders who are trying to get out, is that the mechanism that actually dragged him through and was processing him is comparatively small. I mean, for a start, you're not going to be able to fly in there. You're going to have to clamber in there. And it's going to be a bit tricky given your... change in physical dimensions.
Can I fly this hemisphere as close to the access tunnel or whatever it is as possible?
Well, if you think of this as being like you know, this big glass wall with a rock wall behind it that's comparatively narrow, and the person is dragged in between those two, there are robotic arms that come down. So basically you can go up to the edge of where that glass wall starts at the start of the works, but that's as close as you're going to be able to get with the hemisphere.
You're still alive there, buddy.
Hey, he's... screaming, sobbing, and saying things in Icelandic that you do not understand.
All right, I'm coming.
And Charles will hop off the hemisphere and try and squeeze in.
Okay. Then, yeah, the room is shaking violently as you're trying to make your way through. From up ahead, you can see that the wall above him is beginning to fracture. And you can see that nasty telltale glow of magma from behind it. And you're trying to push your way deeper into this really quite tight space for you.
If it's possible.
I mean, it's possible, it's just really hard. I think as you're forcing your way through this, let's make it a hard strength roll to see if you can get to him.
My strength is 92.
Hmm.
And I roll a 6.
Oh, nice. Okay, Charles is forcing his way down. Fortunately, the crystal on one side is nice and smooth, but you're rubbing up against rough rock and scratching your skin up in the process. You're bleeding all over. There's, like, on your right arm, there's the last few bits of the human skin that were hanging there, just getting torn off, revealing the scales underneath. And you're getting closer and closer. The man is looking around in terror at this monstrous thing forcing his way towards him and just shouting words he doesn't understand.
I mean, is he high above me?
He's on about the same level as you. The cracks in the ceiling, oh, sorry, the cracks in the wall, rather, are above both of you. He is basically being held in place by a number of robotic arms. There is this one that's got a knife that is digging into his abdomen. There are a few more that have got pincers that are just holding onto him, holding him in place. Well, you can see that he's tried to thrash loose and has just driven the knife further into his abdomen.
Could I, sleight of hand, like when I've reached him, can I try and pull apart the sort of the mechanical jaws and maybe try and pull him away from this knife to try and free him?
I'd say that's going to be more mechanical repair to try to find the right points to do that, which plays to your strengths more. But at the same time, I think because you're not doing it with any tools, you're going to have to make it a hard roll.
Okay. A 6 again. So that is a 6 versus 79 for mechanical repair.
Then, yeah, you are pulling these arms away. You're finding just the weak points to pull them away, and he is tumbling forwards, you know, down onto the ground. You are going to have to try to catch him as he does so, otherwise there is a significant chance that this knife is just going to eviscerate him as he falls.
Sleight of hand?
Dex.
At 72, my dex is 90.
Okay. So, yeah, you managed to grab him by the scruff of the neck just in time. The knife has made its way just about up to his navel, but you can just pull him back before guts start tumbling out.
Come on, buddy. Jane, have you got Ethan? We need to get out of here.
What are all the Icelanders doing? Icelandic people doing?
Running around in a panic, shouting, naked.
So Charles is going to sort of roar, go, no, you got to go that way! Out! Out! Jane, you speak their language. What do you say?
And I think Jane? This is probably just after Jane has failed that sand roll, so what's Jane's reaction?
Jane slowly gets up and turns around from this person's charred body on the floor and kind of looks to the direction of whoever's been shouting and can see, like, the people running around and then, like, the big guy staring.
And also the dead serpent people lying on the ground.
Are there any of the Icelanders running near her?
The Icelanders are running all over the place now. Some of them are trying to get out, but yeah, they can see that the corridor is shaking itself to bits, so there is just general panic right now.
Could she try to grab one by the throat?
Oh, easily, yeah.
Do I have to roll anything for that, or...?
I think this is what they refer to as a target-rich environment, so I won't ask for a roll just for that.
Yeah, so she basically, like, grabs one of these naked Icelandic people, like, by the neck and just starts to, like, pull them up in the air. And it's just like,
While we have this tableau going on, let's cut back to Bart. So Bart, I mean, shouted, and you think you may have heard a response, but No one's coming out. Every now and then you can see a naked person running up to the doorway, looking around. A couple of them see you, and they're just standing there, just watching the everything that's going on in confusion and terror.
Bart sort of raises an eyebrow and cocks his head to one side. Run that way! And carries on, like, over there, over the tops of their heads, through into the door. Can I ask, what the bloody fuck everyone is... Oh, shit. As I sort of scan the room.
I feel like you're reenacting that classic scene from Community, aren't you?
Never seen Community.
Is the meme where Donald Glover's holding the pizza?
Oh, yeah, I know the one you mean.
And everything's on fire and there's bodies on the ground.
It's the one someone made for Jane.
Well, since you've all made such a lovely scent of breakfast and death, has anyone else noticed that the whole fucking volcano is about to fall on our heads? Anyone?
I'm coming.
One idiot? Jane?
There's no response from Jane. I mean, you can see her, but there's no response to her name. There is the very obviously dying form of Ethan on the ground, and from somewhere out in the corridor, you hear that recorded voice saying, 7.
Everyone, we have literal minutes to de-arse the area, or we all die.
It's like screaming around you. No one's paying any attention.
Bart just has this rictus grin across his face of, why did I come back for these fuckwits?
He's like got his trousers half off. He's got one leg. Yeah,
a little bit better. It's pretty much fully on. It's still getting tighter. We'll just see how tight it gets.
I mean, you've got it pretty much up to your neck now, and where it's getting tighter, I mean, it's getting tight enough that it's actually beginning to sort of cut through your clothing.
Huh. Okay. deal with that in a moment when it becomes pressing. Jane. Hello! And wave my hand sort of in front of her as I head towards her slowly.
And she turns
around.
She seems to be shouting something in Nikal at Charles.
Fuck.
And she's also holding an Icelander by the throat in the air.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is she? Ah.
Yep.
Charles is making his way out, but this, I mean, it's taking time. He is a big, ungainly form, and this is a small space, and there is this blood-soaked, wriggling, screaming man in your grip.
Yeah, Jane's just kind of looking at him and going, over and over again, as if, like, asking him a question.
Should we have a Nikal roll off Bart? Or is he just going to punch her in the face?
I got a 27 against 15. I don't think I need to spend the luck on that. This is getting to be far too much of a habit. Especially since she's like killing a guy.
It'd be a shame if Jane tried to spontaneously cast Cthulhu Mythos to stop Bart.
Well, I don't think it's even just spontaneous.
That would be out of nowhere, wouldn't it?
I think it'd be more the case of using one of the many spells at her disposal now.
All that.
That's great. That's perfect. Like Bart just charges in all confident again.
Yeah, you are being possessed by a sorcerer, so I think do you have a copy of Call of Cthulhu to hand?
I don't, unfortunately. Call of Cthulhu rulebook. But we could.
I was just going to encourage you to help yourself to some spells, but if I may make a suggestion, then I in a situation like this, Fist of Yogg-Sothoth is always hilarious.
What about Light Caress of Yogg-Sothoth?
Fist of Yogg-Sothoth basically allows you to channel a massive amount of energy in a particular direction.
I have a feeling there's sort of a fist theme going on.
I was going to say, like, I'm a punch back now.
what I'd suggest then is... And yeah, if that appeals, then let's have an opposed dex roll between the two of you to see who gets to act first.
Regular punch versus...
That's a 73 against 50.
And how about Jane?
A 24 against 85. She's quick!
Sorry, I have a cat who is determined to knock all my fucking equipment over. Cat, I love you, but go away. This is not the time. Yeah, she's trying to unplug cables, knock things over. Just don't. Anyway, sorry. Okay, so it sounds like, yeah, Fist of Yogg-Sothoth is going off. So, for each magic point you put into it, you effectively do a blow using 2d10 of force. So, how many magic points would you throw into trying to just bat this would-be attacker away?
Jesus.
Obviously, Jane wouldn't want to do damage, but Jane's not Jane right now.
I think you got to go with your gut.
I mean, 5 might be a compromise because you might need some later.
Yeah.
Aim between the eyes.
Sure, 5.
Fire
sounds...
everything.
Hello. Okay.
No. Okay. So.
Fire my lasers.
All right, in which case, quickly roll. Just roll 10d10 quickly then.
Okay. Should I? I know that's such a silly question, but should I roll them one at a time?
I might just pour another glass of whiskey.
Yep. Should I?
No.
Could I roll?
We just want the total of them.
63. So not the worst.
Fuck. Okay.
That's not damage.
No. So what we have now then is a strength versus con roll. So you rolled against that 63 strength, and Bart rolls against his con. What is Bart's con?
50.
Okay.
I rolled a 17.
I rolled an 89.
Okay. So, yeah. Oh, that's good, because otherwise that would have knocked Bart straight out. Which would have been poetic justice after everything that happened before.
True. Maybe there's a little bit of Jane still fighting in there, like, hey, I want to knock him out myself. You don't have to do it for me. I don't need no man to knock out my opponents.
So basically Jane looks around at you, says something in the cowl while holding up this struggling Icelander by his neck, and just this concussive force comes out of her hand, blasts Bart and the hemisphere back. Some of the flame pistols come bouncing over the side and just disappear, and Bart and the hemisphere just fly out of the room and bang into the far wall of the corridor. Bart is shaken but not knocked out by the process.
Charles, a little help. We need to get her out of here and ourselves as well. Ourselves are important.
So Charles is still trying to pull his way out. I mean, he's scratching himself up more. You've got this struggling man in your hand. But eventually, you do manage to make your way back out to where your hemisphere is. What is Jane doing with her captive?
When she blasted away Bart, she kind of like dropped the other guy in the process because she realized that he wasn't going to tell her anything and didn't understand. So she just like discards him to the floor. And she's looking around at the lizard people. And that's kind of like the source of her anger, that these lizard folks are dead. Is anyone else in her vicinity now? Because she's blasted away Bart. Ethan's just on the floor.
Charles is beginning to get back out. Was Bart going to try coming back into the room, or is he keeping his distance? What's Bart's plan?
I think Barty's going to zip in close-ish again, not going to dive straight in. Like, Jane, what the fuck are you doing? Who am I speaking to?
And I think, because I roll for how many rounds your Battle of Madness was lasting, and I roll 4 rounds, that's got to be 4 rounds now. So I think at this stage you're speaking to Jane.
Jane kind of snaps out of things. The last she remembered, she was looking at Ethan's body and kind of leaning back to see where Bart was. Like, because she realized that Ethan was talking in the language of the Vormi. And so she kind of looks really confused for a second and says, Bart, Ethan is talking like the Vormi. You've got to listen to him. You've got to. I can't explain it.
Christ, what's happened here? Ethan, are you all right?
Charles is going to run over. Has anyone done a first aid on him?
I did.
Yes. Yes,
Jane.
He's
a little bit past first aid.
A little bit. Jane also says to Bart, Jane says, Bart, you're looking a bit windswept. Are you okay?
Bart just opens his mouth, raise a finger just as if to say, no time, later.
Okay.
There will be conversations. Later.
Sure.
Hear that noise? It's counting down and we're at five. I don't know five what, and that is causing me a little bit of anxiety at this given point in time. So if we could just fucking leave!
Okay.
That would be nice.
Okay. Let's get Ethan and some Icelanders and let's go.
Charles is going to very gently scoop Ethan up into the hemisphere and then he's going to like yell at all the Icelanders like it would just be an incoherent get out!
None of them speak English, so that doesn't really make much difference to the comprehension.
Can I do it as an intimidate to get
you
them just to run away from me?
Absolutely can, and you really should. Yeah. Let's go for intimidate. See if you can herd the panicking people.
That's 10-100. I'll try again.
Including two fumbles.
So that's a fail with a 74. I'm going to push the roll by shooting the ceiling with my Tom's...
Oh, no. Fantastic. Okay, yeah, I know exactly what's going to happen if you fail here.
I got a 77, which is another fail. Oh,
no. So, just when you think things can't get any worse, Charles is shouting, trying to corral these panicking naked people. He fires the gun into the ceiling. I mean, bits of ceiling come away. There's magma dripping out, and they do run outside. They run for their lives. They run around the corner. They're even running in the right direction for the way out. And just as they're there ahead of you all, the ceiling just collapses on them. And the floor goes away. And there's just this despairing scream as you have herded them into this fiery, crushed death.
Oh even boy. Like the remaining bile and corpse of, or I guess barely alive parts of Ethan is like, ooh.
What did Iceland do to you, Scott?
Bart just sort of strokes his chin and just mutters to himself, well, that's one ethical conundrum I've neatly sidestepped.
So are they all dead now?
The other problem this has caused is that the corridor that was leading you to the way out is now completely collapsed.
Is there another corridor?
You can give me a navigate roll to try to work out, because obviously you've been flying around. You've seen bits of the complex.
52 versus 60. Success. And I will check navigate.
Yeah. Okay. You've reckoned that if you turn around and come back the way you came, you can actually head over towards the chimney of the volcano. Alternatively, if you head left down the corridor you're on instead of right, which has just collapsed, that takes you over towards the abyss and the Vormi Warrens.
Abyss or chimney?
Chimney's good. Chimney's out.
I have still got one Icelander, haven't I? The one I rescued.
You have.
From the
yes.
Machine. All in all, 100% success.
By the way, are the rest of you just abandoning Greg in the environmental suit chamber?
I was going to hope Charles would do it. I'm not getting close to that thing.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, sure. I'll whistle.
Greggy!
Come on, Greg.
I'm only thinking about Greg because of the fans who would hate us if he died.
Okay, so... Greg is snuggled as best Greg can into this hemisphere, which has also got this naked, bloody, struggling Icelandic man, the really badly burned and damaged form of Ethan that's muttering away in some alien language. Charles is leading you back down the corridor, back past the way you came, the room you came down. And yeah, he leads you around the corner past the room with all the petrified test subjects and the stairs down to the drilling rigs and so on, and down the corridor into that huge chamber with all the transport spheres in it. At this stage, the place is shaking itself apart. You can see, just looking up the chimneys, there are huge chunks of rock that are just falling down now and smashing on the floor. There are sections of transport spheres and broken transport spheres all over the place. There are a few panicked capybaras running around. The floor is cracking open. There's magma visible there as well. And you hear that recorded voice saying, two.
I don't know what that means, but it doesn't sound good.
Meant two? It's a very small number. It makes me... Fuck, do these things go any faster?
Did anyone know what happened to Gunhilda?
No.
Gunhilda?
Or Spencer?
Oh, Spencer was back in the caves. He'll be fine.
The caves underneath the volcano.
Yeah, he'll go with the Bormi. They'll find their way out. Probably.
Don't have time.
Well, if anyone sees Gunhilda...
Let's go.
Okay.
Go, go.
All right, let's go.
Right, surveying the situation, the biggest problem you have at the moment is going to be getting up that shaft, because there are unpredictably bits of the ball that are falling away and rocks tumbling down. And the transport spheres you've got at the moment are... Well, they're hemispheres. They're open. You're fairly limited in how fast you can go in them for a start, just because of wind resistance. And also, you're going to be completely vulnerable if any big rocks fall on you.
Haven't we seen them, like, formed into full spheres?
Absolutely, yeah.
And they were, like, filled with liquid or something, weren't they?
They were.
I'm sure I did a roll around as like a weird pipe or something.
Is this the room that had all the spares, like
it
just
is.
The racks of them?
It is, as well as the big nozzle that dispensed the fluid.
Bart's going to have a bit of a brainwave and zip over to the racks of hemispheres and like just reach out and touch another one and see if I can control two at once.
Oh, absolutely. I think because you've already got the sus of hash to that. You can try. It's going to be hard to control two. I mean, it's going to be much easier to, you know, create one sphere out of them, stop them together. But yeah, you could try to control two.
Yeah, that was my intent. So control two and then sort of bring the other one on top.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that seems to be what they're designed for.
Just before I close it, sort of my hands are touching the top. It's like, everybody, grab a lid and close it. And start rising up through the tunnel.
Oh, wait!
Huh?
I don't think we should fly them without that liquid in them. I'm remembering back a number of episodes, but I'm sure that wasn't a good idea.
Oh, you think it's some sort of like G-force absorbing gel or something?
You think we should use the liquid? Crash, crash, thump. Fine, all right.
Did we ever figure out how to operate the
Charles, like, Charles did. Yeah, Charles passed his operate heavy machinery role.
Right.
Remember, I killed a whole lot of people in a sphere.
You did, yeah. We were trying to get information and you were like, death.
Fill her up, Charles. Running out of time.
I mean, I know you know how to do this, but I think because you're doing it in time pressure and trying to do it, you know, as fast as possible... I would still like another operate heavy machinery roll to see whether you can assemble and fill these three in time.
That is a fail with an 85 versus 79.
You just mentioned you have 98 luck.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, I mean, I could push the roll.
I'll push you in a second.
Just in case, for the podcast, just in case my sigh... didn't quite encompass my facial expression at this particular instance in time.
I'll spend the 6 luck.
So, yeah, I mean, so between you, I mean, with Charles's direction, you're managing to assemble these spheres, get airtight seals on them, and you do realise as you're putting this place as well, yeah, these seals are literally airtight, and there isn't much air in there. So, with the liquid getting pumped in, I mean, those of you in the spheres who get this first... The process does feel uncomfortably like drowning, because you're in this airtight sphere. It's the air is being replaced by all this clear liquid, the fairly viscous liquid. It fills up your lungs for a moment, for actually several moments. You are fairly convinced you're going to die, and then suddenly you're breathing again.
I think Greg's coping mechanism is starting to chow down on the barely gasping for air Icelandic man in the tube with us. So
okay, yeah.
Maybe having a few nibbles.
Charles will try and stop
him. Yeah, try.
Yeah, we need roll up newspaper.
I'm a fucking demon dog, and I'm supposed to eat the things. So
stop it.
I'm just.
I think, given everything that Charles is trying to do at the moment, I'll give you the choice as to whether you're going to spend the time trying to save this man or trying to fill this field with liquid. You're not going to have time to do both.
Who's fair? I think Charles isn't going to let Greg eat a helpless guy. He'll stop him.
I'm not going to kill him. I'm just going to have a nibble.
Stop it! Charles is like turned away from the machine, is like kicking Greg with his giant foot.
Bart's just pounding on the edge, on the outside of his.
Stop it!
Jane and Bart are going to be in the position of being able to take off ahead of Charles, because obviously he's been so busy trying to stop Greg eating this man that he hasn't quite managed to fill his own sphere up yet. And you two can take off. Just dimly through, it's difficult now hearing the voice through the fluid, but Bart is pretty certain he hears one.
Bart, after a couple of abortive attempts to try and speak with fluid-filled lungs, Bart just sort of waves at Jane and just gestures up and out. Looks over at Charles, shrugs. Starts to find out how fast this thing can go.
Yeah. The answer...
Please make him ask for a pilot role, please.
Well, what I think I would like, though, is... I mean, these are controlled through POW, so I would like POW rolls off each of you to see how well you do at dodging all the falling rock and accelerating out of the collapsing pyramid, out of the collapsing chimney.
That's right. I'm thinking if we're going up the shaft, then, like, maybe if Charles is at the bottom... he could be a little more shielded by our spheres. So if we go in like a train.
Trying to protect him that way probably isn't going to end well for you. These are big lumps of rock. I mean, if you start trying to bounce your spheres off them, you're fairly certain. I mean, the glass on this, it's not really glass, but what they're made of is thick. But these are huge, huge lumps of rock that are falling from high above. Newtonian physics will not be kind to you.
Okay. I think, Jane's going to kind of... She's behind Bart, but doing the same kind of thing and hoping that Charles catches up.
Okay.
I rolled a 55 against 90 for my pal.
Good.
Pow.
And how about Jane?
Okay, a 30 against 55.
Oh.
Tasty.
Okay, so you both pass your power rolls. So you do manage to get enough control over the spheres that you are rising up through the chimney, dodging these rocks as they're coming down. And there are a couple that glance off the spheres and knock them a bit, but you are accelerating up out of the chaos and devastation and just shoot up, straight up into the air above. What you can see now is a peninsula that is shaking itself apart. There are huge waves forming. You can see ripples heading out to sea. The ground is tearing itself apart. There is magma bubbling up all around. Let's go back to Charles. So Charles...
Greg is now a Yorkshire Terrier.
Yeah.
For Charles, he probably is. I mean, Charles is like 8 foot tall.
Greg's pretty big, but yeah.
Is Greg at size 50, did he say? Greg is the size of Bart.
And he's been eating a lot, so he's probably bigger now.
Of course, Bart is very much along the Tom Cruise lines of it.
Greg is significantly bigger than Bart. Greg is size 80.
Jesus!
Whoa.
He's bigger than Charles there.
Wait a minute. Does that mean that I could have been riding Greg this entire time?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me? That would have happened. I would have found a way to upskill, like, drive auto or whatever variation thereof.
It's literally a skill ride.
Oh, right. I'm drinking, leave me alone.
the base is 0.5, so it would have been hilarious. There's a real missed opportunity.
I mean, Greg is there trying to eat this screaming Icelandic man. The rocks are falling now, hard and heavy. There is this klaxon going off. Charles has not managed to fill the sphere with fluid yet. What are you doing?
Can I brawl Greg?
Try.
You can certainly
so
try.
So I can pin him down and then finish pressing this button.
Well, pin is his move, actually. And now he thinks you're playing. He's like,
Okay, I'll give it a go.
Charles, just run if you see lipstick.
Amazing.
Okay, Charles doesn't actually have that great a brawl. Charles gets a 67 versus 45. That is a fail.
And Greg gets a 40.
Sounds like Greg has pinned Charles down.
Yeah. Greg's.
Get off!
Yeah, but he's licking your face. Like, you know, he's like. Wrestling.
Hang on. Can I spend 24 luck to make this a hard success?
You can.
Nice.
The naked Icelandic man is crawling away, leaving a trail of blood behind him, getting away from all this chaos.
Don't you go anywhere. I'm going to put a foot on his back.
So does Greg respect being pinned like this?
No, he doesn't. No, in fact, he's going to try and attack the other man that you've pinned down again, because now you're holding us. Like, your legs can't be that wide. What are you doing, the splits? You know what I mean?
They're really wide.
Yeah, but I'm size 80, so I'm covering that. Teeth and claws.
Just imagine Charles with like a really barrel chest and like tiny like legs out like this.
Like an upside down pyramid for a body, right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you could give me that fighting bite roll then to see whether they can chow down on this man.
Ooh, 61 against 55.
When this man is trying to dodge out of the way of, well, all of you, because you're all clearly mad and trying to kill him. You've killed all his friends and his family in front of him. And he rolled a 0.9 on the dodge roll. So basically, while Charles and Greg are having this tussle, while the hose is spewing fluid on the ground, just not filling up the sphere, just, you know, wasting all this fluid across the ground, this man manages to just crawl away from all the chaos and is just running for it. Is running for the far side.
You say the word run.
Yeah.
Greg's prey instincts kick in.
Oh God.
his prey drive has gone through the roof, and he just has an urge to chase this man down.
So,
Charles will grab onto his tail. No, you don't.
Well, it sounds like you're rolling your fighting brawl, Charles versus Greg's dodge, if he's trying to get away to his prey. So.
Okay, Charles rolls an 11.
Wow. Versus 45. I roll a 41. It's fine.
Okay.
You've stopped me.
Yeah. I mean, so you can stuff Greg back into the sphere.
Get back here!
The man is just running away. I mean, he is... I mean, you maybe try to save his life, but he is not going to share a sphere with a monster that keeps trying to eat him.
It's fair enough.
I feel like that man was the symbolic redemption for your failure towards the Icelandic people, and now he's been chased off. You got
nothing. I'm
pretty sure
he's Grinhilda's brother as well.
he totally was. that is written into the scenario.
I was gonna say maybe I should have the Icelander if you're having Greg and Ethan, but
it's too late for that.
Yeah. Never mind.
Right, Charles is not going to give up on this.
Oh.
Yes. So he's just gonna zoom after this guy, screw filling this sphere up. He's gonna zoom after this guy and he's gonna grab him as he sails over the top of him and then out the caldera or out the chimney.
I got a quick question. How much HP does Charles have? Because I'm pretty sure it's like one.
Not much.
Oh right.
Yeah.
This sheet says 8. I don't know. I don't think that's the right sheet. I'm sure I've got less than that.
Yeah. I mean, you did get first aided, but I think you've got something like 4 at the moment.
Yeah, I'll put it down to 4. 4 would say it feels right.
Okay. So you are swooping in. You're trying to grab this man and then head out. So I want 2 rolls here. One is, as you're swooping in, I think I want a fighting brawl roll just to see whether he can do that, and he is going to try to dodge out of the way.
Fail. 69 versus 45.
and I rolled a 19 on his dodge, which is a success. So you swoop in, but at that point, I mean, there are rocks falling all around you. He just dives and he slides underneath one of these heavy bits of machinery and he just disappears into this crevice under it.
Right. Extreme circumstances call for extreme measures. Greg, get him! Throw Greg. Greg, fetch!
Okay.
The prey drive goes through the roof.
And you throw Greg out and you send Greg, slithering underneath.
Don't kill him!
Well, Greg's going to listen to that command. He's going to go, I've got to get him. I've got to get him. And if that means killing him, maybe. That sounds like a suggestion to not kill him. I don't know if that's an order. So we're going to go in and attack immediately. Can I make it down into the crevice that he's crawled into?
Yeah.
So I see him, he's scuttering away, but he can't scutter as fast as me.
He can't.
So I attack him with a 28 against, is it 55?
Okay, I think at this stage, I mean, seeing this, he's not really going to be able to dodge here, so he's just going to try to punch Greg in the nose. And that's a fumble.
Okay. I'm just looking to sink down in through the bone.
Well, no, I think what happens is he goes to punch Greg in the nose just as Greg opens up his jaws. And, you know, the jaws just come down on his hand and there is a crunch.
Ooh. And then my tail is just like...
Bring him in, Greg!
My tail's just waggling outside the crevice.
Charles will jump down. Yeah, I'm going to Steve Irwin with this thing. Jump on the back of Greg.
This will make him really mad.
Yeah, I'm going to stick my thumb up his ass.
So you're getting out of the sphere again.
And it's actually how you get a dog to let go.
But, so you're jumping out and you're trying to grab hold of Greg. Now, I mean, initially I was going to ask for a luck roll to see whether you could get out before the self-destruct mechanism goes. But then, I mean, you hung around to do this, so I was going to ask for a hard roll. Now that you're jumping out and running after them rather than getting away, I'm going to ask for an extreme luck roll to see whether you manage to get out of here or whether you have enough time.
Greg doesn't have luck.
Before,
so...
No, I'm just... This is for Charles.
Charles. Charles gets... Charles gets a 75 versus 60.
Okay.
That's not good.
So,
can I push this roll?
I think what happens then is Charles grabs hold of Greg's tail and starts pulling him out. You can see this screaming Icelandic man coming out. And as you pull him, there is this graunching sound as his hand, which is stuck in Greg's mouth, just comes away. You can see the bones and tendons of his arm just coming loose.
Can Greg, with his dex, try and re-chomp onto the bit on the other end? Just like it's come away.
Spaghetti.
Come away. Next bit.
Greg can certainly try doing that, but at this stage it's fairly academic, because at this stage the self-destruct mechanism goes off. And the volcano basically erupts, and you are in the fun at the moment. So there is this almighty explosion, and suddenly the chamber that you're in tears itself apart. There is magma shooting up through the chimney and spewing out through the top. Jane and Bart up above can see all this happening, see the explosions, see the fire and the magma coming out. But what they can't see coming out is the third transport sphere.
Oh, God.
Wow. Okay. And on that bombshell, we shall end the Iceland chapter of Two-Headed Serpent.
Wow.
So, again, thank you everyone at home for listening, and thank you everyone for playing. Maybe for the last time, I've been Joe Tree. You can find me on Twitter at Joe the GM, and the podcast is at HWR Podcast. We have a Facebook page, a Discord, which is in the show notes. Please do check it out. And we have a Patreon. If you want to find out what happens much, much sooner, please check out our Patreon right now, where the next episode should be posted. It's patreon.com/HWR Podcast. We post all episodes there early, and there's a whole load of other cool stuff on there, which is only released on Patreon, including the reason why we keep on saying, "Look at how strong I am," which is from a cut episode in Oklahoma. So please, yeah, patreon.com/HWR Podcast. Again, Curran, thank you so much for playing.
No, my pleasure.
I tried to save, I didn't really try and save Ethan, actually. I tried to save some nameless Icelandic persons.
And you also denied Greg a meal. I'm sure you're the enemy of the state, so to speak, on the Discord now. You're like, why won't you let him eat? What's wrong with you? We don't care about Icelandic, man.
He's a grown boy. Gotta eat.
He's growing. He's gotta eat. And it was stress eating, you know, he needed this. This helps him cope. You were trying to drown him, you know, so there's that. So if anyone wants to get in contact with me, they can find me on the How We Roll Discord, or you can find me on the Does It Roll Discord, or on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Curran_J. That's KURAN_J. Yeah, that's me.
Fantastic. And Dave, thank you so much for playing. Where can people find more of your stuff?
I am to be found exclusively on our Discord, because, yeah, the internet as a whole is garbage.
Can't disagree at all. Well, together, Camille, thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything you'd like to plug, share, or mention?
Thank you very much, Mr. Joe. That was a very explosive session. as for getting in touch with me, I'm on the Discord at Camille B. I'm also on Twitter at Camille Brouard, where I post occasionally, and I do various musicy poetry things on Instagram, so if you look up my name on there, I'll probably come up in some form.
Fantastic. And last but by no means least, thank you so much, Scott, for taking us through this and for writing this incredible chapter. It's been absolutely, definitely one of my favorites, if not my favorite, of all the chapters we've played so far. It's been,
well, thank you,
brilliant.
Well, sorry, before we do that, I was just going to say, I spent the last 10 minutes of this game thinking back to that riddle about, you know, if you've got a bag of grain, a hen and a fox, and you're trying to get them across the river in rowboats, what order you take them in? And apparently the answer is you put them all in the same rowboat, go halfway across and just sink it.
I mean, I may have broken a podcast record of spending 98 luck in one episode.
But yes, if anyone wants to talk to me, I am on the How We Roll Discord. Alternatively, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at @ostalwood there. And if you want to find out some of the other things I do, go to blasphemoustomes.com, where you can learn all about the Good Friends of Jackson Liars, which is the podcast I do with Paul Fricker and Matt Sanderson, who co-wrote this campaign and has got all sorts of interesting discussions in it.
And we will be back very soon with the next exciting chapter, possibly with some new characters. Definitely with some new characters.
Whack.